happy to be here tonight and pray for this 6 minutes at the beginning, trusting that God will make His love manifest to all of my people. And He will bring the
South Africa. And so then that night,
out of in the room that had such a glorious meeting. The news of the Lord had come down. The medical association called me up to have breakfast with them, gave me the right hand of fellowship, put things in the hospital. It's a choice to go. Come on, if anybody wants to come, come and pray for us. I said, Reverend, that's true divine healing. He said, we're not opposed to that. And I said, thank you. And so we rattled the newspapers and speaking. Now the Lord was blessing. He understood that, and we were many, many, many thousands of people. They couldn't get into the city. They were going out and go to the field, the place where they had a ground out there. And so, but I said, I'd like to go down to Cape Town. That's about as far south as you can go. And I'd go into the south pole. I said, I'd like to go down there. So I said, it doesn't make any difference to me. And that night, the news the Lord said to me, by vision. He said, don't go with them, man. He stayed right there for 2 more weeks. And then he went to this farm where the men's room, Mr. Martin, Mr. Dancy. And then from there, he moved right over to the building and stayed there a month. Well, the little animal that sat in the place that said, looking at segregation, a woman, man, who was a random man, he brought it back to the National Committee. I went to see them. Oh, and you talk about going up, and you think they're in the middle of that cool grand people set up. So I said, no, sir, we're not going to do it. We're going to move on that way. I said, really, no, I told you not to do it. So I said, no, I can't do that. So I just refused to do it. Well, here they come, the car, and take me anyway. And then on the way down, I said, stop the car. I said, the Lord is telling me not to do this. So I stopped and got a locust in front of Africa. And so I pulled off some of the leaves off the locust tree, stole it out of the moon's feet. I said, in the moon of the law, you can't take that trip. I said, it's not the Lord's will. All the rest of it is in the moon. She got right back at me. One of them walked up and said, don't believe what you mean God speaks to somebody else besides you. I said, Cora had that idea at one time when he called for Moses. Yes, called him up. I said, there's nothing I do. I don't know what he told you, but I know what he told me. And I said, after I stood there for 2 or 3 nights in Johannesburg, and you see me work moving and so forth, and then when you get down there, I wouldn't know what God said. Mr. Baxter left at the time, called me over to one side and talked to me. He said, well, this is all for these men here. We're coming under. I said, but Brother Baxter, this is a vision from the Lord. He said, and I have no more to do with it. He said, it's a vision from the Lord. And I think that, and most all of them were Brother Bob Rick, a very fine Christian gentleman. And he was with us. He walked over to me and said, Brother Bannon, I think you're wrong, man. I said, who's Brother Bob? I said, you see? So I said, what's going on? I was right there in 2 miles, and then we went on that one there, a little place with about 6,000 people, and probably 10,000 there, and old place in East Houston. So it was raining out there, and it was a nice, fine, warm day. And just before they got ready to take me to the moon that night, there came a tropical storm. You people in America don't know what a storm is when it's moving on the road. And I said, drowning everybody out there at 4 o'clock with a full moon. No service. All the ministers came back to the place where I was. I said, I'm told you. Then the Lord is satisfied. He was angry because we were doing out of his will. Well, he said, the Lord told us to do this. I said, you might have, but he told me not to. And he said, well, then the next day, the Lord looked for that time, Brother Branham. And the next day, it's about time you got ready to take another kind of business, and I have to close everybody today. Then he came back, I said, now, tomorrow night, we're going to have an earthquake for him. So they said, you mean we'll have an earthquake? I said, no, no, it means that he told you we'd have an earthquake, but brethren, we're out of the will of God. And we can't stop for being it. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, now we were still going strong. And I said, the Lord has told me to return to Johannesburg and stay there for 2 weeks and then go to Durban and stay there a month. And I looked at him and said, that's a weak promise to brethren. I said, you're making a weak promise to brethren, and God is speaking. Man, sometimes we just get ourselves so wrapped up to this way it was, that's the way it is today. And when you're so wrapped up, when you just think it has to run according to the way the association says, so what? You're not in agreement. You're wrong. God's people are going to be there. That's right. All of that. And he just means it's very hard to understand. You have to know God to understand. You know that. You know the scriptures. If you know the scriptures, you know it's true. So we just had an awful time. Then, about 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody had a marriage of late.
It's the prophet, it's the prophet, or whoever it is, you listen to God. And you remember, I'm praying, you can see. Witnesses are standing there. God is my witness. And I said, all right, I told him what was going to happen. Went on out that morning when he went down there, turned up and stood back there. One of the fundraisers did, and one fellow came up to me, and it was Billy, in a little black car, of course, you're not supposed to speak to me, because he done told me he was ready for, you know, and he was a priest. And he prayed and he said, and on the road, he picked up another boy over the road up, and Billy was all thrilled about that. And on the road, he turned around and said, Daddy, something is standing by you, the little priest, by Billy. Put a lady with a white cabal suit on, took his travel, he said, Daddy, look at that man. What is it better than I said, you remember what I told you? And it was all proud when he seen what the Lord had brought with us. I said, too far, I can go, but Dad suffered for this. Well, as we left there, we went to cut off. There, trouble set in. First one thing and the other, one thing to their minister. The brother told me to be like my church. About 15,000 people with a church that was seated about 500. No sermon was going to be a place to promise it would be in his church. And that's where he's going to be wrong. Billy Bob Rich was cut off his head and walked down the street, third after walked away, and he's got another place to stay. I said, Billy Bob Rich, this is that exceedingly abundant and above all in the city. And if it isn't good life with faith, it'll be good until we go home. I said, you see if it isn't. And Brother Baxter, he's a year now, he's a witness before God, and know this to be the truth, know that that is the truth. And there it just started from one thing to another, just this. What was piling one on top of the other, one on top of the other, until we come back down to this place now. Now the Lord blessed us with power, with work, but God only just the thing. But when it came to the place that we started back up towards Jamestown, our poor Elizabeth, Brother Banks was taken very sick. Very sick. Joe Hall was taken very sick. And we started just one thing piling on top of another. And then, after a while, I took them sick. I went to the Lord. He turned his back on me. We went on to Durban. I stood there. Under inspiration, God brought 30,000 people in one order for him. He offered. Yes, that was God's grace. But me, I knew it. And then when we got to Durban, we were going to let the black people and white people come together. What is that? The Holy Spirit knew that in the beginning. And so they went as far as you could see people around the big racetrack, just as far as you could see it, following after people from four city blocks down the street. They're just sitting, just like you're sitting here, blocked off in city blocks. Pouring down rain and so forth, they never noticed that. They just kept sitting there. But then when I got there, I thought, hey, well, let me stay here a while. They had a meeting already in just, I think, 3 days in Bergen. Then I had to go pump over to Southern Rhodesia. Come up into Rhodesia then, and then come back down to Victoria and get up there 2 days. And so sick, I couldn't hold my head up. Then I went back to the room, and all of us sick, and all of us, everything going on. I went back to the room, and I said, do you remember what I told you? Come across the street, I said, Brother Baxter, do you remember? When I got here to America, I came to find out that down in that room, the Indian somewhere, in there, it's sitting parasites, sitting in the stomach, down to the intestinal tract, which is causing the bitches there, and it's just about to die, every one of us. Sick, upset. Then God began to speak to me. Then I promised him as I walked the floor and climbed, and every day, until it was between 7 and 8 months after me, I took you. Just as quick, I just couldn't even raise my head up on that. Just stand there waiting for God. And then one night he came down in a vision. Oh, you never know how it feels. He walked down there. I was laying in the room. He came to me and said, now, don't fear. My sin is forgiven. He told me what was going to happen. He said, now, it's going to go away from you. You'll be all right, but don't disobey no more. So what told you? He said, now, you're going to take a meeting and set you down. A jail of Durban, South Africa. And I've seen a real meeting of many, many thousands fading into the grave, the rest. Standing before me, set tens of thousands of people. Then he told me, he said, turn to your right. And there's a pendulum light, a great light came down from heaven, hung over where I was. There was an operating line, and in there were men dressed up like this, with something wrapped around a little skin looking man, with their hands up in the air, a crazy God. And I said, so it looked like evening. And then this light came down, and operating on it, and went way back over the hills, and over thousands times thousands of them in there. And then I said, are you all black people? And he put it down in front of me, and we were white people. And I looked out this way, and there were the Indian kind of people. And I said, and then he came real close to me, and I heard the number they were called. He said, there's 300,000 of them in that meeting. And I marked that down in the book. He said, there's a name of God. Rather than just the 300,000 people. That's before it comes to pass, as you might know. How many of you remember the prophesying of a little boy who was about 2 years before he was raised in heaven? Those up for you that know about it, that's the witness to see. All just exactly what he would look like, where he would be, just how it would be. And he was laying dead for around 30 minutes on the hallway. Many of you remember the story. And how for very outstanding old fear in the voice of him, there with the city officials with their saints laying them all off today, government seals on the paper that was taking place. A little boy been sitting still. There was a thing here, the Lord came down, told about the other boy. You've heard the story many times, go down in the book. Now, those things are what God says to me. Now, the other day, when I went to make a meeting until God spoke to me, and then I felt very definitely impressed about Hammond and you. When I went out in Hammond to look around, well, I see the auditorium. Wasn't air conditioned. Everybody said, that's a graveyard. Don't you go there. Boy, if you go there, that's a real graveyard. But there's nothing there. Except some fellows run down there, speaking about me, scattered the things for the carnival. Well, the Lord told me to go to Hammond. So I went to Hammond and said, how long did it stay? I said, from 1 day to Jesus time. I don't know. I said, now don't ever make a meeting any different time. Because I don't know, just, I promised God, just as he would lead, I go. Just wherever he went. I don't, that means I'm not with the boy to be, none of those papers. I can have papers. Not to it. If I call a God, I ain't got time for papers. I got to do what he tells me to. Some of these men can set the meetings for 2 or 3 years ahead. If they're able, that's their ministry. Mine's not that kind of ministry. I've got to do what he says to me. All of you realize that. And he sent me to him. There's a meeting there down there in Baltimore, who it was, got an auditorium that seated 10,000 people, absolutely free the whole month of July, air conditioned, and 500 preachers signed up. I got the papers on my desk today. Some of them Methodists, some of them Baptists, these full gospel preachers, 500 of them to cooperate with the meeting. Brother Bosworth said, you can't preach that, Brother Graham. I said, God. One place where you tell me, I don't care if there's 5 people there. If he tells me to go, that's where I want to go. There's no idea how many people. It's the will of God we have under consideration. Now, these men who just pray for the sick and come up and they said, we'll be here in this year and we'll be over there at a certain date and their papers are going out. That's all right. That's their ministry. Mine's not that kind of ministry. And so, I don't know where to go tomorrow. And whatever the Lord would say. And then, what about the said, there's many people here, some people from Battlefield, there's some people from over here and down here and up here at Indianapolis and all around, people from San Francisco and so forth. Great meetings. And he said, I said, Brother Banks, I had no meeting at all. Not at all. He said, well, let's go into Chicago. We got a great big place up there, a big arena of the place. I said, sounds all right. Then he started to go down there one day and said, well, shall I secure it? Mr. Bobo and some of the ministers were down there. I said, no, better wait a minute. I got my wife in and went down and put them over at the sanctuary and they wouldn't look through there. I walked back, went over towards this place and the Holy Spirit said, stay out of there. I said, I see. I just bypassed it on by. So then, I didn't know why, I don't know. And he said, turn aside the vine. I promised one. Long time ago, and I'm telling you under obligation. I said, all right, I'll go over to Zion. And then Brother Baxter comes in and said, what about the way we're going from here? I said, now, Brother Baxter, I have no reason. He said, Brother Brandon, if we get an auditorium, you've got to place it down. And I said, yes, that's true. He said, well, what do you think about Battleship? He said, would you like to go to Battleship? I said, the Battleship gets his 30 years with us, doesn't it? And I said, I think it'd be all right. And so he said, well, I'll find out. And he wrote up to the ministers and called up or something with him. And some days he said, you feel like you'd like to go to Battleship? I said, yes, I have two other considerations. One of them is Minneapolis, and one of them is Battleship. I'm thinking all those two, praying about those two, but I don't know just yet. I said, I believe I feel a little more leaning towards Battleship. I said, I'd rather go to Battleship, but because I've been in Minneapolis before. I said, all right, so I'll make it Battleship. Well, I didn't know it was there for a big long time. So then, finally, I even told the baby's name. I said, we'll be here in just a minute. If the Lord permits. I said, well, as far as I know, I said, I'll be right between two places because I had a reason not to go to Battleship over there because I've been there before. Well, about 4 days before I went to Memphis, Brother Baxter said, Brother Bogey said that we could have the auditorium of his church and his little auditorium going to come back every night before going over. I said, well, I'll take it under consideration. I said, now, we may be there one night. If the Lord says, move, I'll go. He said, we better take the church thing. I said, all right. Yeah, I said, now, if it's all right, maybe one night. All right, we went on over there. They had a great rest for me. But before I went up there, one night I was laying there, and I listened closely. This is a confession. And I just lay awake and I had people coming and everything. And I went to sleep, and I slept through the night, and about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened up by a terrible dream. I dreamed seeing a great big muddy wind that come in and struck a little stone, and I know my wife was in there, and I ran in and grabbed her and got out of the place. And I said, oh, thanks to Lord. And I woke up. I said, now that's an awful dream. I looked over to her and she was asleep, the baby was asleep. I said, well, now something happened right there. I don't know what it was. In a few moments, I said, well, this is strange. I was thinking about a dream that I had in my room. And here I am sitting here on a pillow of cold and warm, real clear blue water, not muddy water, cold blue water. I was going up to sleep. Not, I thought, well, say, am I dreaming? And just a moment, I heard something behind me making a noise going, put, 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 put. I thought, well, this, what? I don't understand it. It's like if I was somewhere else and say I was speaking on the microphone in church just a few moments ago. See? Just, I thought this was strange. And it kept coming, I noticed there's a little something in the water, rushing up that way, and it come up to me, and then turn that way. Then it go along, come back around this way, put, 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 and then turn that way, and come back again. I said, I don't understand this, but something's very near me. So look ahead. Now look, there's no turn to the right. No water. There's one turn to the left. So what it's trying to tell you, turn to the left. And then I jumped to myself, I thought, hey, was that a dream, or did it scare the Lord from all me? The first time in all my life I ever did that. And I thought, well, that's the strangest thing that I ever seen. I woke up my wife, I said, honey, something happened. I didn't know whether it was a vision or whether I want to sleep, I don't know. I said, it seems too clear to be asleep, but I'm not sure. And I told her what it was. Well, I said, well, it was a dream call. I was awake, and I said, I might have went back to sleep. And I said, I don't know. I couldn't tell what happened. In a few minutes, we went on out and called out to breakfast. After breakfast all day long, I said, I got to keep staying with me. I tried to throw it off my mind. He said, oh, yeah, I just dreamed that. You can't have confidence in the dream and all that. So I just, that's a dream, that person, that. But I said, it still was there with me. When I got over to Chicago, I called Brother Baxter. And I said, Brother Baxter, the strangest thing, something tells me it turns in my life. I said, I don't know. And he said, well, he's in a hurry. And it went on. We come over here. And then, when I got over here, the Holy Spirit caught me over the way. And so it turned me around. And then, in my room, I didn't quite perplexed about the way things were going. It didn't seem like the Spirit of God was operating right in the meeting. But in fact, it comes to Brother Branham. I said, yes. I said, now, of course, the gift, the God, that operates in the Word. That's just because of that repentance, you see. God is only responsible for what you do with it, you see. And so then I said, there's something wrong. I said, a little article is going to see the Word. 2,500 people. Let us go through. I said, but that is not good about it. I said, there's nothing wrong. The Holy Spirit said, no, then I can even speak. And I said, I don't know what's wrong. And I said, I can't tell you. And I said, well, I'm taking tomorrow afternoon and closing myself up and staying before God. And that's when he told me. I repented. And we called a minister. And one of them said, Brother Flo. And my brother Baxter said, will you speak for him? I said, yes, I'll speak for Brother Flo. I said, Brother Baxter, I don't know. And then I said, sir, I feel that you're doing this and coming up to that lake, Michigan, and blue water, turning that way. I said, certainly. I don't know what in the world is going to do, Brother Baxter. I didn't recognize that provision. I said, I've asked God to forgive me. I've asked him to forgive me. You know what he's speaking to me in the beginning of the week. I said, I don't know why I ever did that. When Brother Flo came up, he's sitting in the room as a Dallas pastor of any group of people. He discussed it, and he said, Brother Brown, I know that God did this. I said, I'm not disputing your word, Brother Flo. He said, but look here. Then Brother Bass, he said, now, Brother Brown, we got the minister, this brother here, under consideration. I said, yes, that's the rest of the cooperating minister, 14 churches. We got that under consideration. I said, that's right, sir. Just then the Holy Spirit, I felt it. If you bring me to be God's servant, you will keep me now. God Almighty has permitted me to be kind of mixed up in that vision for the first one in my life to get me right back on the same pinnacle that I was at Christ off South Africa. There I was, the ministerial group, and just all under consideration, and even America speaking towards the ministerial group, and here I was standing here to make my choice to serve God, do what God did, or do what the ministry said to me. That was my place. The grace of God came down. I said, brethren, I love you. You know that, and God knows that with all my heart. I said, but the Holy Spirit tells me to go yonder on the other side of the lake. And I said, I'm not going to be like I did in Africa, wait for something happening. I said, I'm going to the other side of the lake. So then, I said, I love you. God knows us, but I must be obedient to God. I promise you, I'll never do it again. And I said, I must do it. And I said, now, Brother Baxter, in confirmation, give a rain over us. And just as he gave the rain over us, what we're waiting for. The auditorium, you folks. We're waiting. See how it works? Just a second. I said, now, we don't want to leave these fellows saying, we don't like this. We're finished out the week with them here. Now, Brother Flo, I guess he's sitting somewhere now listening to me, and he's a very fine Christian gentleman. And he was fighting for his church, of course, and for his church against the people's church. He said he told the people this meeting, and so forth. He said, what will I do about the public? Now, I know that was a hard thing. As he said to me, that was a trip up on Brother Baxter. He certainly made the meeting like that in the beginning. He should have said just like we had an agreement to, but he seen the other meetings that went all the way through, thought maybe this was the same. So he said, I never did set that up like that again. I'll let you, according to the Holy Spirit. Then, knowing what taking place. Then he said, come to Brother Bull. He said, look, I can't understand, Brother Brandon, that God would answer our prayer and then make all these things possible here. And then turn around and send us, I said, Brother Flo, you know what you need here in this city? I hear you laughing. I am responsible to God. What you need in this city is a good old kind gospel Holy Ghost person in this city. You need a revival, not a healing service. You need a revival to get people back on the spiritual life. Now, seriously, I love you, but remember, friends, I'm duty bound to Jesus Christ. You need a revival, see? I said, look at here. He said, well, the preachers might understand, but I said, look at Philip, having the biggest revival he ever had, and the Holy Spirit told him, get out of there and go out to his desert Jesus. Is that right? He never returned back no more. He went on, the Holy Spirit going away, and he left that meeting saying, Philip, the revival, the heaven's revival. Now, I said, and also, he turned around in the Holy Spirit first moves over to Brother Baxter. I've seen that light move down the room. Moves over to Brother Baxter. I thought he was sort of having me close up to Brother Baxter, but it switched and come to Brother Flo. I've seen that what it was doing. I said, "Ah, Brother Flo, the scripture you're thinking of now, you're asked by that Isaiah that went up to the head of the Congress, said that's what it was. That's exactly confirmation. The Holy Spirit there to prove me." I said, "Look at here, that's a real scripture." I said, "God told Isaiah, go up there and tell the king Hezekiah, set your house in order, or you're not coming off this stage, you're going to die. Is that right?" Now, let's just take this step for a minute. Now, the first thing you know, here comes all the people, here's the high up here, standing near the king's palace. There's the guards at the gate, there's the poor people on the outside looking. Here goes the prophet, and you see, for the word of the Lord. Comes back out from there, all the delegates of the kings, and there's the prophet of God. We know that the word of the Lord dwells in you. What about the king? He's not coming off of that bed. Thus saith the Lord. He's going to die on that bed. All right, that's settled. Walk on out to the gateman, I can see the gateman say, "Prophet of God, what saith the Lord concerning our king? He's a righteous man, he's a godly man, he's laying there on the bed. What saith the Lord concerning him? Thus saith the Lord. He's going to down that bed and not come off the bed." Walk on out into this fear of poor place. The people all stand out there weeping over the righteous king laying on the bed. Prophet of the Most High God. They have confidence in him. I say it is precious to the prophet. Said, "What does the Lord say? Prophet of God, he, the Lord, is in his mouth. Tell us what the Lord says about our king." Thus saith the Lord. He'll die on that bed. He's not coming off the bed. You think the prophet is telling the truth? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly. The Lord, consider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. He prayed for 15 years for a life. Then, when the prophet had gone, I watched God's orders. Why didn't he speak right back to Hezekiah? Hezekiah was talking to him. That wasn't God's. Do you think Hezekiah was a righteous man? How many of you that raised your hand? Sure, he was a true worshiper of God. And he talked face to face with Jehovah. Do you believe that? Jehovah heard his prayer. Well, why didn't you say, "Now look, Hezekiah, I heard you. Now you're coming off the bed. I believe that went out and made all that prophecy, but I'm telling you, you're going to come off the bed." Why didn't you do that? That wasn't God's way of doing it. You went back down to the prophet. He said, "Return and tell him that I heard his prayer and so it is." Now here comes the prophet walking back. "Oh, we're so right." "Well, no, I don't have to go back to face those people. No, it's been changed now. It's been changed now because he's going to live and not die." Walk into the kitchen. "What about it, Isaiah? What's the matter? He's going to live and not die. Walk on into the upper house. What about it? He's going to live. As you just said, he's going to die. Is that right? What makes a difference?" "Well, things have changed." "Is that right? From death unto life. Prayer changes. There was a prophet who drove much in fire. No doubt to go back as far as the people were concerned. But he had to do what God told him to do. Now look, some of this going all around. You always speak the face of God. And I don't care who tells you anything contrary to what God tells you. Don't you believe it and you will obey God. You get it? I don't care who he is, how righteous he is, how much of a pastor he is, how much of a preacher, whether he's a prophet, he may be son of God, a real, true, ordained prophet of God. But if God tells you something contrary to that prophet, don't you believe the prophet, you believe God. How many believe that's true? 3 Kings 13. A young prophet went out and prophesied against all Bethel down, done some miracles. The Lord said, "Don't you eat the drink, and come back another way than the way you went in." And a real prophet of God went and deceived that prophet. Is that right? Might as well be truthful. He said, "The angel of the Lord met me and told me to tell you to come to my house. He met me after he met me." And the prophet, believing that prophet, turned and went back. What happened to him? A lion killed him. Is that right? The old prophet wept over. sure as the policy to listen to a man instead of God, no matter who says anything. Believe God first. And God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same healer yesterday, today, and forever. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe and receive it, you shall have it. Can you believe that? Then, no matter what person says that I'm is not right, what person says this is not right, will God at His word. He said that every man's word you allow, your mind be free. Is that right? Now, you can't blame me, friends, for not doing what God said to me. I think the real true Christians would say, Brother Branham, our prayers are with you. So do God's will. For some of these days, I've got the spelling on it, and I believe that that's the truth. I made it up the other morning for between a long spell of, I don't know what would have happened, it would say that like that. By God's grace of God. But God let me go right back to that same faith, the same thing, the same kind of everything, just exactly the same. Right back to that same spot, He dropped everything away from me to stand there alone to make my decision. God be thanked for all my heart. My decision was according to the will of God. I believe it with all my heart. That'll take. You might not understand this. I love you with undying Christian love. And God knows it for that decision. It is the truth. But look, I trust that God will give me the opportunity by His divine will to return here to Battlefield Sunday. There's nothing else to preach the gospel for a while here in Battlefield. I love you. Don't let this reflect on your pastor and no one. It was just a first place to be set up like this. Just a little air amongst the families. And this was, but sometimes in a meeting, my manager knows what to be doing. If God could call me out, He is right there. Regardless of how much set up, or whatever it was, I must hold those God. How many of you think that I did right? Thank you. My brother pastor, you see, 100% over the building. I knew if the Christians could see what was the truth, they'd believe me. He prayed for me, friend. My God, who I stand before those tonight, that if this is, I know Him as divine will, I would like to stand right there in this city for the next 6 or 8 weeks. Well, I seen this whole thing broken in revival and it was the whole city. I would like to see it. God knows that. And I'm just as willing, but I must be flexible in His hand to do just what Philip would have said in Samaria. Very happily would He have said. What a revival he had in preaching and healing, healing, bringing people confessing their sins. And God told him not out of to go out to the desert and eat one colored man coming down from Ethiopia. Is that right? And then just let him go back no more. What told him? The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Is that right? But Philip, come out now and go out and live with Jesus. Is that right? Now the same God that lives in him lives now. He does the same thing with the same neighbor. God does work in the brilliant ways that wonders do perform. One of the scriptures is that now. Sentence 5. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Jesse. And saw two ships standing by the lake, for the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one ship, one of the ships, which was Simon. I've got ink marks there, that means it's almost marked Simon. One of my favorite ships. This was Simon. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and called the people out of the ship. Wouldn't you like to have been there to hear that? Been wonderful. Now, when he had left off speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for the drum. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we followed all night, taking nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when he had this done, he pulled the great multitude of pieces, and the net broke. And they went unto their partners to bring the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Then Simon Peter saw it. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the rod of Jesus, which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And they were parted with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. This is the word I'll read you. Look at those people. Just a minute. Look at them. Call all night through the lake. They were thinking, they know the change of the moon, they know the time of water, and they've seen all night commercial thinking, and have taken nothing. What a discouraging time. Got out, washing up, setting down the bank. Let's drama this minute. Look coming down there. I see a young man in his 30s coming, walking down the bank. I imagine he looks a little older because he's studying his fingers on him. Comes walking down the bank. Children and men walking with him. And I can look way back up on the hill along there at the feast there. Fishermen think along there to say, "There is that prophet of Galilee. Let's go down and see what he will say." They get it up to the bank. I look there, sitting on a log up there, and there's Simon and him watching it, discouraged. They trust upon him and hear the word of God. He said, "Can I use your boat just a moment?" He jumped, got in the boat, and pushed out a little bit. Then as he got to his feet, he said, "Come here, Simon, you are. God never bars, never comes here unless he pays you for it. Isn't that right?" He said, "Come here. Now thrust out into the deep and let on to catch the whole bureaucracy." Now Simon said, "Now, Lord, we've swung through these waters all night. We haven't taken a fish. We've caught nothing. We know we're a fisherman. We know this thing. We was raised where our fathers was raised here. And we've taken nothing from it. And there's just no fish in that water." Oh, my. "But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll lay down the net." There we are. And when you let the net down, it finally fell down. He began to pull in a tug. When he pulled the pieces, he began to feel them dropping. Where did it come from? How did it get there? If there was no peace in the water, taking God at his word would bring peace in the water. Look, friends, you might have seen the other doctor's office in this country. You may have never clinic was there around you. The very best of our beloved doctors might have given you the last prescription they came. You've done everything. You might have been through this prayer line, that prayer line, this prayer meeting, this. What do you say tonight? This is Saturday night. Tomorrow's Sunday. Let's say this. "Lord, I've done all but at thy word, I'm going to let on in that tonight. Tonight I'm going to believe. This is the time when I'm going to take you to your word. When you can walk through the things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. When you shall have it, I'm letting you down, my Lord. Every doubt, every fear, and at your word, I'm coming, Lord." Can you do it? I'm sorry, Heavenly Father, now I'm ready. Your Holy Spirit moves in miraculous ways. God, you're the people in your midst tonight. You're top wheelchairs coming in. Oh, God, may they be missing go home. May they go home walking, breathing, praising God, and may the cause of this peculiar situation just here, may there be something happen tonight, Lord, that will start this a revival roaring in this city, that won't take God's service here, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will be here, that there's a praise through tonight and get the victory, and tomorrow morning they'll be on the street testifying and walking up and down the street glorifying God, and there'll be an old-fashioned revival break out here that would close up a deep day joint. God, close up these places that's open tonight and make mothers and boys become Christians and those daughters that's walking the streets in the way they're doing God. May there be something happen before justice comes. Grant it, Lord, and help me tonight as my own ministry that I have divinely ordered And thou knowest my heart that I'm trying to be true to the heavenly Jesus. And now, Father, grant the great signs and wonders will be wrought while we ask for in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Excuse me for taking so long. We'll go right through the prayer line praying for this church. Right, Stephen? I ask you this. I said, do you want to pray for this church? You're praying with me to see a great one? I think that's what he wanted. But I ask you, your choice is the other way then. If you don't get in the prayer line, you have to step it out there where you are. When I respect your choice, not mine. Look. All right. Now, may the Lord bless you. Get it up. All right. Did you get out the prayer cards a while ago? Let's start at 50 tonight. How many of you get close to 50? Let's call about 25 now, see if we can get a little bigger on them. The whole 50 would be good standing, but I doubt whether we can get through them all in that kind of a line. If you want to, we can. Let's see what 25 is being started. Who's got the prayer card C or E50? Who's got prayer card E50? Now we can start. E50. 51, 52, 53, on up for the first 25, up to 75. Line up right here according to your numbers on both sides. And now, look around at one of the prayer cards. Here's one of them on here, see? We got every possible while,
He went back to take the word trouble. So this is your husband. He said, I have. And I said, yeah. I said, well, or oh, you have found. He said, I can see that you're a prophet. And he ran into the city, said, come to your men and told me all the things I have been. This is the great prophet. And Jesus came into the city, he never performed on miracle. He didn't have to fill up with that problem. And he went there and began to talk. And they said, now, when that's the brief reason we call him turning off, not because of him, they told us, because we turn ourselves, and we believe that he is here. And that broke the knee, as Brown, and Philip, and when he was in the priesthood, Jesus had another way of doing it. He was in Philip. Now, he was playing the weakness in the mind. That guy. Yes, he's able to use it. Now, whether he's able to use it. Now, I want to stress to you, Mr. Darling, he is not only not able to do it, he has already done it. It's your faith to believe it or accept it. He has already done it. You could be there about that. There was a penalty of sickness coming between God and man. He could step right in and he could talk to God by himself, he or he. That's all it is. It's just our unbelief. Jesus said, without belief, all the time. Yes? Here's a checkbook of my name signed on it. Just fill it out and send it to your father. You'll recognize it. Isn't that simple? Hello, baby. The reason I've been taking a lot of time with you, I've seen something pass by me. Now, you know I don't know you. But haven't you been to a hospital several times or something? Been sick 4 times at the hospital? I see you go in, come out, go in, out, like that different times. Is that right? And don't you have some kind of inward trouble, like a female trouble in the inward part? And you have also, you have colitis in such as that. Is that right? But that's not raised your hand. Oh, sister. How are a man? Bless me. And you know that something is taking place. You don't even feel like you've been doing anything else. Isn't that right? That's not raising your hand. See, what it is, the angel of the Lord is here, teaching, and it was moving to you. Now, if I could only get your faith to agree that, it would be all right. See? And just as soon as the vision went off, a few things, it felt realized, went up to that right, that's when you were here. Your faith is faith. You believe that, didn't you? And while I was talking, I don't know. Perhaps while I was talking, you heard my voice, but that wasn't me. That was that feeling that you had. That's what it was, see? It was really good. Now, you go home, the colitis is going to meet you, and there are other troubles, you go home, do well. Give my congratulations to your sister, and the Lord Jesus bless you, my dear sister. Everyone doing? Now, what would be healed in everybody's in the tabernacle of this church now? To be healed right now? Couldn't it be healed just now? Sure, you should be healed right now. Believe with all your heart. You have a pad on? You don't have a pad, or you do. Now, are we strangers? How long ago did that be? 8 years ago. Well, 8 years ago. You were cancer 18 years ago. Someone prayed for you. Yes. So many how the past is yourself. You know, I'm thinking. There are a lot of problems in some of you. You know what I'm talking about. You've got to stay on God. You got the same thing you need. You got cancer in you. Is that right? You're ready for surgery right now. Is that true? All right. What's that phrase of
lovely. Does not the devil? You bring into his pocket, you return to God and God will return to you.
Well, this is why you're saying, I don't want to use it. And you have a double feeling, don't you? Erupted, earnest, is that right? So he's raised your hand. See, the man sitting out on the inside of you has a hand also on the inside of you on that time. Isn't that right, sir? All right, raise your hand if that's right. A man standing here right now is all around by the street. He had a great big it's ever been disappeared. It's gone from you. Go now, have faith in God. Little lady, was over here, so I know what to do to you. If you will believe with all your heart by Jesus, you may get our blessing. Is that right? Raise your hand right there. All right. He's going to heal you, so you won't have to come to prayer. He's going home. You're over your heart. Faith in God. He is wonderful. I'll give it a picture. I'm in the lady of the I want to ask you a few questions about this speaking. You're just some woman that's got a bad heart coming along the line. There's something strange about the church. And it seems like it. What's your nationality?
I'm strange to you, Eddie. God bless you. And I believe in anything you do this time. I know, lady. I love you. Your trouble, you're having trouble in your shoulders, in your side, your back. Is that right? And then you've got a burden on your heart because you've got a young daughter. And that young daughter has got the paralysis, got paralysis or something. Is that right? Well, that's all true. You still can and then when you accept Jesus Christ now as your Savior and your healer for your daughter, though. Isn't it? Your orthodoxy is gone. You become a Christian in Jesus Christ and you go and you'll do as you have been. Let's say praise Jesus God, the one who is on the other seat for the Holy Spirit, brother, who knows what has happened.
That's right. God did the work just then. All right, come, lady. That's good. That's faith. God's going to do something to you quickly. The miraculous. Have faith, believe me, and his prophet. The same spirit is upon the Hebrew prophet, is the same spirit you're in. And God takes his prophet, but never his kid. It moves on. When one dies, the kid comes on another. It goes on. In every generation, he has come. Have faith. You're the patient lady. Do you believe? Do you believe that God will reveal your troubles to me? That's all I can do by the gift. Is that right? Now look. You are a believer. You're with the Spirit. And now look. You are. You have a nervous condition. A brain which is due to the time that it is with you. And then another thing is you got a stomach trouble. Is that right? That's right. And your nervous has caused a stomach trouble, which is an ulcer in the stomach, causing crying and so forth, and swelling, sometimes swelling of the heart, and your mental conditions, and that, and you feel strain upset all the time, depressed. Is that right? And many times, so you're holding, you cough over the line, and all those, is that right? But he lies. He's lying. Jesus Christ said he is. Do you believe that? So what do you want to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's our comfort. You believe? Sir, you believe with all your heart? What if the Holy Spirit, that what you see in now, would come near you? And say to me like you did the woman at the well, her greatest trouble. You tell her what her greatest trouble was. Did you believe me? It's second. Don't you have something wrong if either in your throat or if in your chest one? I see something causing it as asthma. Is that right? Is that right? All right. Go off the platform and thank you, Jesus. I'm over. Go off the platform. Give God praise. The reason never bother you no more. Come on. Oh, how he moved to get the people to believe. Young man, if you look to your very young self to be 20 years ago, what do you think about Jesus Christ? And I love him. Is he the Son of God? Is he your healer? Yes. He can make you get all that kind of trouble right now. Is that right? Or then believe what you want him. Your faith, faith, faith. Okay. Come, little lad. Young happy kid, you need a you go to spend it with you. You love the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you like to serve him all the days of your life? If he lets you get well, would you do that? So for his glory that you do it?
All right, let's get this. Come here, get him.
You, with all your heart.
Well, just a few minutes ago, when I was speaking to someone here, you told me back down the line, I said, second lady told me back there now, it's the same thing. You were very alarmed when I told the lady about what kind of feeling she was having of a nervous condition. Is that right? Because you have exactly the same thing. Is that right? Now, you think you're going to make you well? But what you want is you to pray for you. That's what you're thinking about. I'm not reading your mind, but that's what you're thinking. You think, if you go to pray for you, come in your mind, right? So, is that right? That's right. You still have those thoughts to be present. Now come here. Because that's what you have to do well. When you're going to receive it, I'll do it all my time. Your Heavenly Father, seeing that the woman has that point of contact, that I must pray for her, seeing that it's not out of her mind as she is going to. She is shaking her head otherwise. I praise God that you will heal her. And now, this devil, this thing is trying to make her lose her mind. I say to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of the woman. Now look at this. Go home. You're going to get well. You believe me? If God knew what you were and what you are, if you know what you will be, you're going to be all right. And go home. God bless you. All right, come here. Do you believe with all your heart? Do you believe that he would make you well? You have number one thing. Okay. Is that right?